lot of uncertainty today. A lot of uncertainty. And I get calls all the time by folks that are concerned, not just in our church, but people I know across the country that are concerned. You know, COVID-19 has caused a lot of fear, a lot of worry, a lot of stress. The interesting thing about it is you know, as much as COVID has kind of messed with our society, the truth is it's given me the opportunity to talk to people about their mortality because now they're thinking about it. It gives me the opportunity to talk to them about what comes after you die and how to get to heaven. Now, I told you guys, I think in our Revelation study, there's actually a doomsday clock. We discovered how to use the nuclear weapons and create them, there's been a doomsday clock. You know, the world is set to destroy itself, is what these people believe. And right now we're setting 7 minutes to doomsday is where they set the clock. And COVID moved it a minute to zero, closer to 0 hour. People are concerned. Do the people you work with, are they concerned about this world and what's going on? Are they concerned about what happens if I get sick? What happens if my family gets sick? What happens if we shut down again? What happens if they continue to take away our liberties? What happens? These are great opportunities for you and I to share our faith. Somebody said to me, are we in the last days? That came up recently. Well, in Hebrews chapter, if you want to go there, I'm just going to read it to you. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse number 1. Listen to what the Bible reads in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse number 1. The Bible says, God, who at sundry times, different times, and in divers manners, different manners, spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, and by whom he hath made the world. We are definitely in the last days. The early Christians were just as much in the last days as you and I are. It could have happened. It could have happened already. God could have sent back somebody hadn't yet. My preacher always said every day that goes by gives us one day closer to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Is this the end of the world? What we're seeing today? No. No, there'll be 7 years of tribulation, 1,000-year millennial reign. There'll be the great white throne, and then the world will be destroyed by fire. Someone asked me recently, is COVID-19 the pale horse in Revelation? No, it's not. No, it's not. Now, it is. It does. It is the sign of pestilence, but it's not the pestilence. Am I going to die? I had somebody ask me that recently. Yes, you are at some point. Of something, if Jesus doesn't return soon, you and I mean, the death rate is still one per person. I didn't know if you knew that or not. Nobody gets out of this life alive unless Jesus comes back and takes us out. Only two have ever done it, and that's Enoch and Elijah. Well, is Jesus coming back in 2022? Yeah, could be. Yeah, I'm living like he is. I'm watching like he is. The better question, though, is, are you ready for Jesus to come back in 2022. I've told you this story. It's funny. I'll tell it again. But when I was a teenager, you know, I'd watch these apocalyptic movies like the late great Planet Earth and Thief in the Night back from the same. Remember those? And I'd think, oh God, please don't come back until I've gotten married, you know. And then when I got saved, I got married and I got saved. And then I'm like, oh God, please don't go back till I have kids, you know. And now I'm ready. Now that I have kids, I'm just kidding. I want grandkids. But the truth is are you ready? Do you know that God also has a doomsday clock? He really does. Take your Bible, go to Daniel chapter 9. See, I have been preaching through Zephaniah. And Zephaniah in chapter 3 talked about the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord spoke of the revelation of Jesus Christ when he comes in the clouds and every eye shall see him and they that pierced him and they shall mourn, the Bible says. And you and I will be on white horses traveling with our Savior and he will touch down. But prior to that moment, there is also, there's two phases to the second coming. Just like there was two phases to the first coming. There was the cradle, and then there was the cross. There was the manger in Bethlehem, and then there was the cross at Calvary. His second coming will be as a thief in the night. We call the rapture, the great catching away, and then he will be revealed 7 years later. Look at Daniel 9 and verse 24. 70 weeks, these are prophetic weeks. Of 7 years, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city, that's Jews and Jerusalem, to finish the transgression, to make an end for sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and the prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks. And 62 weeks. Okay, so what is that? A score is 20. So 62 plus 7 is 69 weeks out of 70. And the street shall be built again in the wall, even in troublous times. Remember, we talked about this. In Jeremiah and Zephaniah, they all been prophesying of the destruction of Jerusalem by Babylon. They would go off into slavery for 7 years, 70 years, excuse me, 70 years as a punishment for their idolatry. 70 years. Daniel was sitting in the palace in Babylon reading the book of Jeremiah and started doing the calculations and realized, whoa, we're coming down to the 70th year. And sure enough, the Persian army invaded and overthrew Babylon. And the first edict that Cyrus gave as the new king of the Persian, of the emperor, the Persian Empire, was for you Jews to go home and build a house in Jerusalem. They knew from that moment, it was prophesied by Isaiah, in Isaiah 44, 28, that Cyrus would do this. That 69 times 7, that many years, would be that from that moment to the time the Messiah would come. That's how the Magi knew to be looking. That's how they knew to pay attention and look for him. Daniel had been praying. Now, chapter 9 is an excellent example of how born-again people ought to pray. But he says 70 weeks are determined. That's 490 years. And he expands the prophecy in verse 25 saying, look, 69 of those 70 weeks will be from the time that Cyrus says rebuild to the Messiah. So when did the countdown begin? Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. Artaxerxes, March 14th, 445 BC, gave the command to build Jerusalem. This is when God's clock started ticking. Until Jesus arose. I can't get into all the different math and things that go into it, but you'll find it in Daniel, you'll find it in Nehemiah, you'll find it in Ezekiel. I believe it was AD 29, Luke 3, 1, that Jesus made his triumphal entry on Palm Sunday in the Passover, and that was his presentation according to that time. It was Jesus' day on God's countdown. And in Daniel 9 and verse 26, the Bible says, after 62 weeks shall the Messiah be cut off. He will die. This was a prophecy that Jesus would die, not for himself. Look at verse 26. And the people of the prince shall come and destroy the city and the sanctuary. The end thereof shall be with a flood. And unto the end of the wars, desolations are determined. After 62 weeks, that's 434 years, the Messiah, our Savior, would die. His life would be cut short. Isaiah 53 and verse 8, the Bible says he was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? He was cut off out of the land of the living for the transgression of my people. Not for himself, but for the sins of the people, the sins of the whole world. Are you following me? Are you tracking with me? Say amen. You following me? You following me, all right? So as we're talking about the day that Jesus actually comes in the clouds and everybody sees him, there are some things that are going to lead up to it, and the Bible has laid it out for us. That yes, we're in the last days, but at the moment Jesus died and rose again, God put a pause on the clock. And God's doomsday clock has been paused because the final week will be the week of Jacob's trouble. The 7 years of tribulation that is yet to come. You think things are bad now. When you start reading the book of the Revelation, and during the seal judgments, a quarter of the world dies. Then you read the trumpet judgments are next, and half the world dies. Or like a third. And then it's the bowl judgments, and then half dies. I mean, there's a whole lot that's coming that you have yet to see. Yes, there was a tsunami this week from the eruption of that volcano. Is that the end times? Well, it's just part of the birth pains, the Bible says. As a woman in travail, you know, as the ladies are ready to give birth, those contractions are closer together and more intense. Is this the end? No, we're still got a lot to come yet, but it could happen at any moment. God places his doomsday clock on pause for Israel. Listen to what it says in Acts 1 and verse 7. And he said, it is not for you to know the times and the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. So 69 weeks of the 70 have happened and God hit pause. Why? Until the fullness of the Gentiles, the Bible talks about in Romans chapter 11 and verse 25. For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Well, when will the clock start ticking again? At the return of Jesus Christ when he raptures his bride out. And that's in Matthew chapter 24. Take your Bibles, turn to Matthew 24. Now remember, Matthew 24 and 25 were written from a Jewish mindset. He was talking to Jewish people. Look at verse 3. Of Matthew 24. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, you see that? The disciples came unto him privately saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? Now they've asked Jesus three questions. When are these things going to happen? What'll be the sign of thy coming? And what'll be the sign of the end of the world? Now he's going to lay it out for them. When shall these things be? He's going to tell you verse 4 through 14. And then what'll be the sign of the end? Verse 15 to 31. Number one, when will it happen? When shall these things be? Well, in verse number 36, the Bible says that no one knows. That's what Jesus says. But of that day and hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. So, who knows when the actual end is coming? The Father in heaven. That means Jesus doesn't know. The Son of God does not know when the Father's going to go, okay, boy, go get him. He doesn't know. The angels don't know. Look, if Jesus the Christ, God the Son, doesn't know when it's going to come, what makes you think your favorite internet preacher knows? Come on now. The Jehovah Witnesses have been doing this since 1914. They've been saying it's going to happen on this date, and it didn't happen. And on this date, and it didn't happen. Or on this date, and it didn't happen. Oh, well, he came back spiritually. That's not what the angel said. The angel said this same Jesus will come back in like manner as you saw him go, bodily. That's a lie. But yet hundreds of thousands of people are caught up in that cult. They're a cult because they don't believe Jesus is the one true God. They don't believe in the tenets of the faith. Jesus answers that question. Harold Camping died setting dates in 1994. 2012, everybody thought the Mayan calendar. You know what's funny or ironic to me? The Mayan calendar was a disc. I just think they ran out of room, Brother Mike, on the disc and just figured if he ain't come back by then, well, then there's no telling. They just ran out of room on the calendar. That's what happened. But what are they trying to do? These folks on the internet, they're trying to get you to buy their DVDs and their books and click yes on their videos because after so many video viewing, they start to make money. You can get money from YouTube as long as your viewership's up there. The end of this time period will be ushered in to a close at the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, Titus, Paul referred to it as our blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. That's why in the book of James, James said, be patient, brethren. Number two, they ask the question, what shall be, this is in Matthew 24 and verse 8, what will be the sign of thy coming? This is speaking of the revelation, not the rapture. There'll be three signs that the Jews are looking for. In Matthew 24 and verse 15, this is one of the signs that you know Jesus is going to come back in the air with all of his armies and everybody's going to see him. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. This is spoken of Daniel 9:27. That means in the 7-year tribulation period, they will rebuild the temple in Jerusalem. Paul foretold this in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. And the prince, the false Christ, will make a covenant with Israel. That's what it says in Daniel 9:27. He shall confirm a covenant for 1 week for 7 years. That's one of the signs that Jesus is coming back with his armies, the revelation. In Matthew 24 and verse 30 and 31, the second sign Jesus said was the sign of the Son of Man. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to another. Just like the ascension, the same Jesus will come back. Jesus returns with his church. Now, the crazy thing is you and I aren't looking for either one of these signs. We aren't, because we won't be here. It's my personal opinion, and I think I can prove it biblically, that the rapture will happen and will usher in the great tribulation. We won't be here. It's the third sign that we're looking for. Look at verse 32. Now learn of the parable of the fig tree. The fig tree always symbolizes the nation of Israel. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you that this generation shall not pass till all things be fulfilled. Now I can go through all the different verses that tell you why Israel is the fig tree, but for sake of time, I'm just going to tell you it's Jeremiah 11:16 and it's Romans 11:24. But Israel became a nation again in 1948 after 1,900 years in exile from their homeland. And over 1,900 years, they never lost their national identity. That's one of the proofs that God exists. But Israel became a nation again. And that is the sign we've seen. And now we know we're close. Matthew 24 and verse 4, the signs lead up to his return. Look at Matthew 24 and verse 4. He said, these are the things that are going to happen leading up to my return. We're going to see false Christianity. Look at verse, he says in verse 4, take heed, let no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. There have been false Christs and false Christianity. Look at verse 11. And many false prophets shall arise and deceive many. Muhammad being one of them in 640-some is when he was born, and he heard from an angel. It was the 1800s when Joseph Smith heard from an angel. Both of these men were false prophets. Galatians 1 and verse 6 says, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which ye have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Both of these men heard from angels, but they weren't God's angels. Now, I don't have time to show you, but Brother Steve's class covers Islam, and so does the class at KBBI. Then he says, false teachers. Listen to what it says in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. There are hundreds and hundreds of false teachers out on the internet today who deny biblical salvation, deny eternal security, deny the deity of Christ, deny the things that you and I know from Bible, and millions follow him. In Matthew 24 and verse 6 and 7, he said, leading up to my return, there will be national conflicts and international conflicts. Verse 6, then ye shall hear of wars and rumors of war. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. Do you see that? Verse 8, all these are the beginning of sorrows. You go out on the internet, my children are in their 20s. They don't know an America that wasn't at war. I remember Desert Storm. I didn't have any kids at the time. And as soon as we went into Iraq to free Kuwait and all that, my boys were started to be born. They don't know a country, America, without war. Natural disasters, that's what he said in verse 7. He says there'll be famines, pestilences, earthquakes. You know, there's 20 million people in Africa right now, from Nigeria to South Sudan to Somalia to Yemen, that are starving to death. The top 10 are Haiti, Zambia, Yemen, Ethiopia, Chad, Sudan, Comoros, Timor, and Burundi, and another one, I think it's Eritrea. Pestilences. How many remember SARS and N1H1 and Ebola? And these are things that are leading up to the return of Jesus Christ. And, of course, the earthquakes. You know, the earth is shaking somewhere at all times. I don't know if you realize that or not. It's not just there on the peninsula. Is it Togo or Tonga? It's not just there. There's earthquakes everywhere, all over the world. Croatia has had 1,000 earthquakes since March 1st of last year. It's insane. There's religious persecutions. Look at verse 9. Then they shall deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Do you realize that over 55 million documented cases of martyrs happened from the Dark Ages on because they dared to believe the things you believe? There's been more. Fox's Book of Martyrs stops in the early 1800s, and there's some other books that have documented the last 200 years. The Center for Global Christianity says that they estimate there are over 10,000 martyrs per year, people who lose their life. And you've seen them on the internet, dressed in orange jumpers, having their heads cut off. Jesus also said in verse 12, another sign leading up to my coming is sin, because iniquity shall abound. There are things going on in mainstream TV and things like that that my parents wouldn't dream of seeing on TV. I remember when cable came to my town. Cable came to my town. My dad got it because he thought the Weather Channel was the greatest thing ever. Then he flipped to see some of the other channels, and it was just foul. It was vulgarity. It was foul language, and my dad just had him rip it out. He said, I'm done. We're not having that in my house. Just the things he would see today would probably make him turn over in his grave. Another sign of his coming, he said, was the increased frequency of these things happening. In 1 Thessalonians 5:3, for when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail, that's the birthing process, travail upon a woman with child. I don't know if you've recognized lately, but the part of what's been bubbling out of the cesspool in D.C. is every other word is peace and safety. We're doing this so there'll be peace and safety. We're doing this for your safety. We're doing this so we can keep the peace. I mean, it's just, I don't know if you've realized that or not, but that's what's bubbling out of the cesspool across the river. Everything that comes out of there, this is for peace and safety. This is for your safety. It started back 9/11 is when it really got in our face. We're doing this for your safety. We're doing this for your security. And it was prophesied that when they say, 1 Thessalonians 5:3, for when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child. You know, the early Christians, as I said, were just as much in the last days as us. But can't you see the signs? Jesus said there'd be abounding sin. There'd be false Christs and false prophets. There would be people saying peace and safety. He also says it's like the days of Noah. Look at Matthew 24 and verse 36. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels in heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Look at this now. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. They were oblivious to what was coming. They were living their lives, doing their thing without regard to God, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. They were oblivious. That's what Matthew 24:38 says. Take your Bible, go to 2 Peter 3. 2 Peter, it's after Hebrews and James. Find 2 Peter. Are you ready for, it's not about whether Jesus comes back in 2022. The question is, are you ready for Jesus to come back in 2022? 2 Peter 3 and verse 3. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers. People who deny truth. That's what scoffers are. Walking after their own lust. Why do they do that? Because it benefits their flesh to do so. One of the interesting things that I find is that a lot of people will say they don't believe in God, but you drill down, you find out they're mad at God. It's really what the truth is. They'll deny it because they can live any way they want to. Walking after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. When I tell people Jesus is coming back, and they're like, you know, people been saying that for 2,000 years. Congratulations, you just fulfilled prophecy. Because they said you would say that. And by the way, just a side note here, I like to geek out about this. The very definition of evolution is right there at the last phrase of verse 4. All things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. You realize as they try to watch evolution scientifically, they have to keep making the age of the earth older and older and older and older and older because evolution is really slow because it actually doesn't happen. There's five types of evolution, only one works, and that's natural selection. For this they are willfully ignorant of. That means they are dumb on purpose, that by the word of God the heavens were of old and of the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. They are willingly ignorant of the creation, the flood, and verse 7, the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. It is in their own personal self-interest to deny creation, the flood, and the coming judgment. Are you in the last days? You are in the last days. Is Jesus coming back? Yeah. The signs are everywhere. And they're more and more and more prevalent. We see it today, secularism taking over the arts and science and education. There's only real one bigotry really in the world anymore, and that's against those who trust the Bible. As the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. You know, the days of Noah was also times of scientific progress. Those people back before the flood lived 600, 700, 800 years. How good could you get at your job if you lived 800 years? You'd be really good at it, wouldn't you? These people before the flood were not foolish, not stupid. They were good at what they did, and I don't have time to get into that today. There was a time of technology. There was a time of social plagues, Genesis 6. Times of great violence, Genesis 4. Society unraveled, Genesis 6, 1 and 2. We have polygamy, sexual perversion. All of this is labeled in Genesis 6 at the times of Noah. Sodomy is named after the sin of Sodom. We see that in Genesis as well. It was a day of selfish prosperity. Look at Matthew 24 and verse 36. But of that day and hour knoweth no man. He says, for in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. They were eating and drinking. Ezekiel 16 says the sin of Sodom was pride and fullness of bread and idleness. Idleness. Let me ask you a question. Is there a labor shortage in America because So many new places has opened up for business and need workers. Has there been millions of Americans of working age that has died and are no longer available to the workforce? Why aren't they available? Because they make more money sitting at home on the government dole. Idleness was the sin of Sodom. Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, it will be like that just before I come. It's also a day of solemn preaching, as we see in Genesis 6, because Noah didn't pull any punches. But the scary thing is many pulpits have gone silent on the word of God. They won't talk about sin and being right with God. They'll say things like, Pastor Mix, that's your personal interpretation. No, it's English grammar. I didn't make English grammar. I barely passed it in high school. Okay? I didn't make the rules for English grammar. It means what it says because of the English grammar and the definitions of the words God chose. I didn't make this up. You know, if I wrote the Bible, I'd say we all went to heaven and got a unicorn. And we just all work it out later. If I wrote the Bible, that's my interpretation. That's what I would say. Wouldn't you? I'm not the one who wrote, if you don't trust Christ as your Savior, you go to hell. You don't stand in line. You don't pass go. You don't collect $200. You go straight to hell. I didn't write that. He did. But when you realize how holy God is, you start to see how sinful we are. And we recognize that there's a reason why God does things the way he does. So the Bible says in Matthew 24, this is what the world's going to be like when just leading up to me coming. But you know, I hear people say, well, I don't want to give up my personal sin. I don't want to give up that thing that I like to do. I'm sure they said that as Noah had the door of the ark closed. I don't want my friends to forsake me and think I'm stupid because I became a Christian. I'm sure there's people who were watching Noah build that ark thinking, what if he's right? Our blessed hope as born-again believers is that Jesus is coming. And all of the prophecies of his first coming as a baby born of a virgin in Bethlehem of the house and lineage of David came through perfectly. The fact that he would flee to Egypt and then come back and be called a Nazarene, living in Nazareth. That he would have a humble life, Isaiah 7 and verse 15, came true. The fact that he would be rejected, that his own people would deny him. That was all written in Isaiah 53, that he would be pierced and by his stripes, we'd be healed. That he would die, he'd be cut off, not for his sins, but for the sins of his own people. All that came true perfectly. My soul, thy soul, you'll not leave my soul in hell, Psalms chapter 2 says. The fact that the resurrection would happen, that he would be 3 days and three nights. These things were prophesied hundreds of years before they happened, and they happened perfectly, exactly. The fact that he'd go to heaven, that he would call out a people that were not his people, that's us, the Gentiles, as a people unto himself. That the Father, his people would be the Jews, and that the Son would have his own, and that it'd be us Gentiles. This has all been prophesied. Why would we not believe the second coming in the face of the perfect fulfillment of the first? Why would we not believe it? So it's not about whether Jesus comes back in 2022. The question is, are you ready for him to come back in 2022? See, I'm not waiting for the tribulation. I'm not going to be here when the tribulation happens. The Bible says that God knows how to deliver his own from tribulation. The fact that it's the time of Jacob's trouble, not the Gentiles' trouble. Gentiles just collateral damage for those who didn't trust Christ. But millions will trust Christ because they've never heard. When you think about it, the tribulation, as we'll see next week, has nothing to do with us. That's why we're not going to go through it, I don't believe. But our hope is the rapture. Our hope is not the great white throne or his return. So what are we supposed to do? We're out of time. Go to Matthew 24 and look at verse number 42. The Bible says we're to watch. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good men of the house had known and what watched the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. We're to be looking for the Lord's return. That means ready. That means you keep short accounts with God. You confess your sin every day and you stay right with God. You stay clean with God because you don't want you. It's not that you lose your salvation. It's just the fact that you don't want to be embarrassed when he shows. So watch. That's what Jesus said. Watch, verse 42. Then he said, be ready. Verse 3, therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Have you trusted Christ as your Savior? Are you ready? When did you receive him? How did you receive him? You don't receive Christ through communion, as the Catholics teach. You do not receive Christ through baptism, as the Church of Christ teaches. You do not receive Christ through the confessional, because there's only one mediator between you and God the Father, and that's the man Christ Jesus. You don't get saved by joining the church. It's not about having a religious experience. It's about repenting, confessing, and receiving. Number three, we're not just to watch and be ready, but we are to be faithfully serving. Look at Matthew 24 and verse 45. This is what we're supposed to be doing while we're waiting for our Lord to return. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Blessed, that means you're managing God's stuff. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, findeth, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. We are to be serving. We are to be at the Father's business because we don't know when he shall come. But in verse number 49, if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunken, meaning I'm going to live like this stuff belongs to me, even though it belongs to God, and I'm going to live like I'm the master of my own destiny. Verse 50, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware, and shall cut him asunder and appoint him a portion with the hypocrites. I mean, are you ready? Are we in the end? I believe we're in the last minutes of the last day. I believe so. And I'm ready. I'm not looking for the revelation of him and his white horse. I'm looking for the rapture when he comes and takes me home. Do you see the signs Jesus laid out in Matthew 24? I do. So we're to be watching. We're to be ready. We're to be serving because he's going to come even when we least expect it. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Zephaniah talked about the day of the Lord. We'll talk about that in the coming weeks. But this is the time you and I live in. Our Heavenly Father, we see the signs. Jesus said that you know the signs of the sky, but you don't know the signs of the times. Well, Father, we're thankful that you wrote them down in Matthew 24. And just like in the days of Noah, Father, we see the parallels. And God, we know that judgment is coming for those who don't know you. And God, we recognize it is our responsibility to be telling others to come in. As Noah so faithfully did for over 100 years, he told them to come into the ark. Let us be faithful to tell others to come and to repent and to trust Jesus. Father, for we know it's soon. And God, as we are serving, we ask that you'd bless our efforts for your own glory. That people will see you and not us. God, they'll see the truth of your word and not anything else, but just embrace you. Bless us as we serve you. Strengthen us as only you can in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. May I look this way. Listen, prayer advance, there's still room. If you